Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language, a special edition about life, love, and wealth. Being clueless about money is no longer affordable. Well, at least according to our next guest, it's bad for your emotional health and ultimately your longevity, because there's a straight line relationship between health literacy and financial literacy. Simply put, health is your most valuable personal and professional asset. Those are my words. Those are not the words of our next guest, Kate Levinson, PhD. Let's discuss her new book, Emotional Currency, and Invest in Your Future. It's nice to have you on Body Language, Kate.
Thanks for inviting me, Christopher.
The book is subtitled, A Woman's Guide to Building a Healthy Relationship with Money. So tell me, why did this book need to be written?
Let me say that lots of men are reading the book as well, and benefiting from it, because it's what I've written about, that we have an emotional relationship to money and use money emotionally, have for so many years pushed aside our feelings about money, thinking that we should just be rational about money, when in fact, underground, we've had lots of feelings that we just haven't paid attention to. And that's why I wrote the book, is that paying attention to them really helps make for a richer, healthier life, richer in all ways.
Along with a big debt of gratitude. It's funny you should use the word richer. The first words of your acknowledgement say, I owe a large debt of gratitude. It's interesting how the language of wealth and health, especially emotional health, seem to be very interchangeable. Would you agree with that?
There are lots of words that I would say that psychology has taken from the economic language, for sure.
You are very candid in your book about your previous limitations and failures when it comes to really understanding money. At what point did the light go on when you said, you know, I've got to get my hands, my arms, my life around this stuff so it makes sense and works for me?
Well, you know, I managed to write a dissertation on related to money without ever looking at my own issues. I was in therapy.
What was the dissertation about?
The dissertation was on women with inherited wealth who saw no need for earned income for the rest of their lives and who chose to work for money. So looking at the experience of work and inheriting money. And even though lots and lots of people are completely envious of these women, I found, and which I needed to discover for myself, that there are lots of burdens, costs, if you will, to inheriting large sums of money.
You say in the book, we live in a culture that until very recently thought women's financial place was to be, quote, dependent on women. It taught and often legally required women to rely on their fathers, brothers, husbands, sons, and other male financial experts, and I put that word in quote, to handle their financial concerns. However, this is a different world, and if you agree with that statement, how and why? What has happened to the involvement of women in money?
Well, legally, we can own our own money. When we marry, the money does not automatically become our husband's, solely our husband's. We can earn much more money than we've ever been able to before. And I think that will only increase. So even though the financial world has gotten much more complicated, women in the United States are much better off. We can own land, we can make investments on our own, and that's really only a recent phenomenon. So part of the reason for writing the book for women is that women are increasingly aware that the old patterns of being dependent on men, again, even if we have our own money, women often find that they let their husbands do the investing or take control of finances.
Many women find themselves in trouble when their husbands die and they are literally clueless about where the money is, if even there's any left.
That's right. And sometimes when women divorce, they find that that's the case as well. So I think that we are waking up to the fact that we are way too vulnerable when we don't have a finger, at least, in our financial lives, if we're not educated, if we don't understand. The younger generation of women have watched this and also know that they're taking more control, which is, I think, a very healthy thing in all respects.
Let's talk about how money works.
You know, whenever I'm talking about money, any aspect of it, I feel like I'm hardly touching the surface, because everything is actually very complicated when you talk about money. So there's the economics of it, there's the political aspects of it, there's the emotional, which I'm trying to bring attention to.
You've said that money carries our anxiety about survival.
Yeah, because in this country, there are very few safety nets, and money touches every aspect of our lives. So at the very core, it's about whether we have food on our plates, shelter over our heads.
You've also said in Emotional Currency that money is an agent of transformation. People do remarkable things with money. Money can be transformed into something it is not, an endless number of objects, entities, desires, and experiences. Whoa.
Yeah. When you think about it, the barter system, you just trade what you have for what the other person has. But when we exchange money, money transforms, mutes into everything. Right? So we use it to transform ourselves. We use it for experiences in the world change us and change the world.
You also say that money is a measure of value. Money is the only standard measure of value we have. Money homogenizes values and enables the comparison of quantitative differences, such as the value of a house or a gallon of gas.
Yeah, and where we get into trouble with this is when it is the definitive measure of value. Because there are lots of other things in the world that we each value, but money has this capacity for being the measure. It has a stranglehold over all the other values, I found.
Why should people pick up Emotional Currency by you, Kate Levinson, and ultimately how will they benefit? And I'll give you one reason. I mean, I found myself in this book. I mean, I found a lot of the case histories. Oh, gosh, they're talking about me. How did Kate know?
Yeah. I think we all can use to put more attention to our relationship to money, that we tend to judge ourselves and how we manage or how we handle or what we have when it comes to money. And that curiosity makes a big shift, so that we're able to really see what is true for us. If we're curious, we can see a lot more about our relationship with money. And when we bring our heart and our feelings and our values into our money life, our lives change. And I think that money then can become a creative force that nourishes.
And money can be very liberating. It can allow individuals, especially economic independence, true wealth. That fact can allow people to work harder than they've ever worked before in their life to benefit others.
Yes, it's one of the gifts of money, is being able to use money to help to create a world that is more aligned with what we want the world to be.
And describing that world today is Kate Levinson, PhD, the author of Emotional Currency. Kate, how can people learn more about your work and your fabulous workshops, too?
I have a website, emotionalcurrency.com, and the workshops are great because we break through the taboo about talking about money, and then we get to learn from one another and get to understand our own stories better when we talk with one another.
Well, I think that's something that we can all double down on. Ooh. Kate, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. And my apologies for that terrible pun.